Today's daf in Shekolim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Dalet, and we're holding at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of the Chamesh Esrei, different individuals, so the Menuyim, and we're up to Nechunya Chofer Shichin. So Nechunya was the one that was in charge of making certain that there would be water. And he was a tremendous bucky. Remember, it isn't just a matter of digging down wherever you want. You have to understand where a well is damaging, where it's cutting into the water table properly, and so on. That was actually the machlokas with the plishtim. And Yitzchak Avinu is the detainer that he was destroying the area by making these wells, and the area could not support all these kind of wells. And it's part of the chashivas of Yitzchak Avinu, that he was a chayfer ma'ares and knew precisely where the place would be that you would dig and that it would actually fit into the ecology. That's why that whole sugya was so important. It had to do with the schos of Eretz Yisrael, and each one of them was keneged the Beis HaMikdash, remember, as the Ramban explains, was keneged one of the Bate Mikdashes. And because of that, the idea of Nechunya Chofer Sichin is very, very fundamental in terms of its connection to the Beis HaMikdash. This is not only for the Beis HaMikdash, but it was for the Aliyah L'Regel and for the Kayanim and for Yerushalayim. So he, Havayada,
that connects it to the Gemara Makkos of put up it in the water and the fertility of the earth.
Yes, yes, very much so. Beautiful, excellent. And he would know, Ha'aden Kef Mikoramayim, Va'aden Kef Itbe Shrav Ruve. He would know which particular rock structures would be containing water that would be kept cool and would feel fresh. And he would know also which rock structures were an indication that there were heated springs. And he would know Adhechan Shrav Ravute Matya. He would know the word Shrav Rav has become the modern Hebrew word for plumber. So he would be able to plumb the depth, so to speak, of how deeply he could extract hot water from various places. That is a tremendous bekias. Omer Rebbe Acha, you wouldn't believe it, that this person who spent his entire life supplying water for the thirst of the Aliyah L'Regel and people in the Beis HaMikdash, his son died of thirst, which means that nothing is guaranteed. Omer Rebbe Chanina, I can tell you one thing. Mandi Omer Rachmana Vatran, Yivatran B'nei Me'oi. Anybody who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and he's willing to be mevater, you know, you do something wrong here and there, he'll overlook it, and that he overlooks things. Well, he can overlook his own insides, because he is screwed if he believes that. Ela marich ruchei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you many opportunities to do teshuva, and he will be marich af. But in the end, if after offering you all of those opportunities, you refuse to do anything about it, Gavi Didei, he collects whatever is due. Omer Rebbe Acha, Siv, and it's worse than that. It's because of the gatas of Nechunya that he suffered this, because it says, Usvivav Nisara Ma'od. So Nisara, usually, of course, is written with a Samach. It means it's very stormy. And around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very, very stormy. It's a pashtus is that it's referring to David HaMelech is talking about over here in Tehillim. He's talking about the tremendous tumult around the presence of the Shekhinah, in which all of the Malachim, and the shaking of the ground, and so on. But it's written with a sin. And what we're darshan from that is that the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more medaktik he is, kechuta sa'ara, even the midas hadin is medaktik literally to a hair's breadth. And so because of that, the kayach of din is much more powerful among people who care about that din and who desire that din and who want to be naki for olam haba, to the extent that so much more is expected of them than it's ro'i for them to be nida in kechut ha'saira. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't think that's the correct source. Lo mitam hazeh, elamin madich siv, it actually comes from the pasuk of Nora al kol sivivav. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very careful with all that are around him, so that, because he's terrifying, he's awesome. So Mora o al akrovim yoter min harachokim. That's what he's saying. Al sivivav, around him, there's greater awe. So that awe is always from the Keach HaMishpat, in which case his presence is much more powerful when you're close to him. Rabbi Chagai b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Nachman says there was once a maisa b'chassid echad. Okay, the question is whether this itself is the chunya chofer shichin or not, because normally b'chassid echad, as the Gemara said, is a reference either to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi. But I mean, this goes literally. It's the same maisa that we know about the nechunya. So okay, whoever it's referring to, the Gemara doesn't want to identify it. Shoyachofer barot shichinu ma'arot lo'avrim v'shavim. He used to be involved in the chesed of making sure that people would be supplied with water. Pa'am achat aita bito overt linasei v'shtafa nahar. One time his daughter was on her way to the wedding, her own wedding, and this is a maisa in the Bavli about the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Shichin, and she was shut for nor, she was washed away by a river into one of, Tosfos says it was into one of the pits that he himself had dug, and Avin Kol Ama Alodin Lagabe, everybody was coming into his house, and they heard the terrible tragedy. Bon Menachem Te, they were trying to give him Tanchumim. Veloki Bilalav Mitnachma, he would not be Mekabel Tanchumim. So Reb Pinchas Ben Yair went to him, and Reb Pinchas Ben Yair attempted to give him Tanchumim. Veloki Bilalav Mitnachma, and he wouldn't accept Tanchumim. So Reb Pinchas Ben Yair was scandalized. He tells the people, Amarlo, and he says, this is the guy you call a chassid? A guy who refuses to be mekabel the din on himself? And he says, no, I don't accept it. Omru leis, I told him, Rebbe, you need to understand the situation. Kach v'kach haya osa. This guy's whole life was dedicated to digging these cisterns for people. And kach v'kach era lo. And this is what happened. So then Reb Pinchas Ben Yair chapped that Lamaisa, same way Rashi says, remember Rashi says everybody wanted to be Menachem Yaakov Avinu, he wouldn't be Misnachem because there's a gezeira that a person is only Mekabel Tanchumim on someone who really died. But on someone who didn't die and is mistakenly thought to be dead, a person is not Mekabel Tanchumim. So he realized, Reb Pinchas Ben Yair, that the story is too insane that this should have happened, and that the reason he's not being Mekabel Tanchumin is because she's not dead. So he said, what? It makes no sense. He dug this to be Mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to him. It's impossible. And at that moment that he said this, people started shouting around the city, she's alive, but she arrived. Some say that she, as she fell, so she got caught on a suchta Israel. There was a branch that was sticking out, and she actually was saved by getting caught on that branch. But others say that a malach that looked exactly like Reb Pinchas Ben Yair jumped into the water and pulled her out. So malach yarat kidmus Reb Pinchas Ben Yair vehitzila. And then we have Gvine Kharutz. So this Gvine Kharutz was a famous, incredible crier, and he was able, elsewhere it says that you could hear Gvine Kharutz from Yerushalayim all the way in Yericho, and he was the one that used to get everybody up. Also the shitas that he used to announce the various karbanas as well. Shoya machriz bebeit HaMikdash. And what would he say? He would say, "Imdu akornim laveda ulaviim leduchanam v'Yisrael ma'amadam." So once Agrippa Amelach heard him at shmone parsaot. So he heard him about 3 miles away. V'natanlo matanot harbe. But that doesn't mean that that was the maximum that he could do. Obviously, he could do better than that. But Agrippus heard him clearly from such a distance that he was absolutely floored, and he sent him these tremendous gifts in recognition of how amazing he is. Then the Mishnah's next Mimuna is Ben Gever. Ben Gever was in charge of opening the gates in the morning, and he would also close the gates at night. Now the question is, how do we understand what it says in the Mishnah about Bechol Yom Hayu Metormim Es HaMizbeach Bekros HaGever? What is the Kros HaGever? So Tirgim Rav Kumi the Beit Rabbi Shila. So when Rav was giving a shir in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shila, he said over the Mishnah, and he said, Kora Gavra Achris Keruza. So he said what it means is that when the person called, meaning the Keruz, which was Ben Gever on the cruise, that's what it means. Now, everyone had always taken the word to mean Kora Gavra is Kros HaGever is a Tarnagol, because that's what the cock is always the thing that they call the male, the Gever, which is how cock became a nasty way of referring to maleness. So they said, don't say that. Say Kro Tarnagola. Say at the cock's crow, right? So the rooster crowed. What are you talking about? A guy? How is it a guy? Omar Lon. So he said to them, what's with you, man? What about the Mishnah over here in Shkolim that says Ben Gever? You're going to say, what is it? Ben Gever is the cock's son? Come off it. Ben Gever is the guy who was the Koran. So when it says Kora Gavra, it says over here, Bekrot Gever, it's obviously referring to him, Ben Gever. How else are you going to read the Mishnah? The next case that we had was Ben Bevar Alapakia. Now remember that the Bavli learns Alapakia means that this was the guy who went around beating up the Levim who fell asleep and the Kohanim who fell asleep. And, you know, he had Rishus to put them on fire and to put fire on their Begonim and so on. But the Yerushalmi learns that it's a reference of literally Pakia, which means a spool of thread. And it means Shahaya Mizaveg Petilot. He would be able, this is quite an amazing skill. He would be able to make the exact size of a Petil to fit the night that the menorah would be written, would be lit. Because basically, what we always did would put in a chatzilug, the Gemara says, because a chatzilug was sufficient for the menorah to burn all night long in the longest nights of the year. So we used to give it that amount every night. But it would be ridiculous to give it, and then what would we do when we were supposed to clean it out and restart according to the Rambam, or get it ready for rebirding at night according to the other Rishonim? So what we would do is we would adjust the Petilot so that every night it would burn through the entire oil, depending on how much oil that wick was capable of actually turning into a gas. So that's exactly what he knew how to do. He would make the wick suited for that particular night. And Rabbi Yossi once went to this place called Kufra, and he wanted Bo Memanya Aleyon Parnasin. So he saw that the city was not being properly taken care of. So he wanted to appoint a city council of the Chachomim who would be in charge. And he couldn't get anybody to accept a job to be in charge. Whatever, either because they didn't hold they were Roy, or because they didn't want the trouble, or because they were, you know, you're supposed to not accept Chashivas. So he went and he gave a shir. And he said to them, take a look what it says in the Mishnah, that Ben Bevai was in charge of Pakia. Now, this guy, Ben Bevai, remember that the Gemara says over there in Shekolim that he became known, this is talking about 420 years of the period of the Beis HaMikdash, that he became the name for all those centuries of the guy that was doing this, okay? And you think this is like a big job, I mean, Yeah, it's a nice talent, but I mean, for God's sake, all he's doing is making wicks. I'm giving you an opportunity. He was listed among all of the Gedolei Ador over here. And that this was like the biggest tzaddikim, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, and so on. And this is what he was doing. He was making wicks. I'm giving you guys an opportunity to be dealing with matters of literally life and death. And you're sitting over here and bitching about it. I mean, these were the Gedolei Ador, and this is what they did, and this is the schus that they had for Dere, so lo kol sheken, you should be running over to me and begging me to accept a position. What, I got to sit there and beg you to accept it? Take a look at what he did. Ben Arza, Galatziltzal. Ben Arza was in charge of these symbols. What were they for? Well, we know that the Mishnah says in Maseches Tamid that in the event that the Kohen Gadol was going to pour out the Nesachim for the Tamid, because the Kohen Gadol could do whatever he wanted, so he could choose the particular Korbanos that he wanted to bring, and if he decided to bring the Korban Tamid, so then he would actually pour out the Nesachim, and then the Sgan of the Kohen Gadol would wave a flag that he's about to pour the Nesachim, and a moment later, as he started to pour, Ben Arza would smash these symbols together, which was the sign that the Levium should start singing. So that began the Shira. The Shira is supposed to go bamish together instantly. The wine flows, the song flows. And that was the Tziltzal. Now, even though the Mishnah over there is specifically talking about the Kohen Gadol and the Sgan, but even if it was a regular Kohen, obviously it wasn't the Sgan, but if it was a regular Kohen, they would also have a guy there with the flag to let Ben Arza know, or obviously Ben Arza means the Ben Arza of the time, to let Ben Arza know that he's in charge of, he should smash those tzitzilim and get the music going. Hukris ben Levi, he was basically the choir master. He was in charge of conducting the Levium. And Reb Acha, he had an incredible voice. That nobody else was capable of duplicating. And Amrulav al Hugras ben Levi, that he was able to turn his voice into this incredible instrument which he could duplicate these crazy sounds. He would put his thumb into his mouth, and he could duplicate the sounds of any instrument. And when he would do this, they would be like, whoa, what? It sounded exactly like these incredible sounds. There's actually a bird that can do that, but there's no humans that I know of that can do that. And that was the whole story, that he wouldn't teach it to anybody. But anyway, that was his tremendous kayach. And Beit Garmo, they were in charge of the Lechem Apanim. Beit Garmo, Ayubakim, but Maisa Lechem Apanim. And they were able to make the Lechem Apanim, and they were able to get the Lechem Apanim down out of the oven without its breaking. And that was much more difficult than baking it, because they were able to bake it in a mold. But then the question is, how do you get it out of there without its collapse? And they didn't want to teach anybody. We'll see why. So the Chachomim didn't like the fact that they should take the job as a monopoly and not share it. And what happens if they die out or whatever? It's outrageous. This is something that is for the tzibur, and they should be teaching. So they decided they are going to hire these famous bakers from Alexandria. And they brought them in at great expense, and they knew how to make a lechem aponim, but they could not figure out how to get it down. And Beit Garmo, they would actually, they would heat up the oven in the inside, they would bake the lechem in the inside, and then after it was completely baked, they would take it out and were able to get it out after it had was fully baked and cooled, which is much more difficult than getting it out while it's still flexible or pliable. And because of that, it was baked properly, and it would not be mit apeshet. It wouldn't spoil, and the nace would happen to keep it warm the whole time. But these guys, they would be masik mi bifnim. There's actually different gersos in the Bavli, but they would be masik mi bifnim. But they would take the bread out of the mold while it was still baking in the oven so that it wouldn't stick. And they found that it would be easier to get it out that way because they couldn't figure out how to get it out without cracking it. And because of that, it was shayach to be mita peshet. And if you don't do everything that you have to do, then a nes is not chal on what it is that you do. And because of that, it would actually be mita peshet. So when the Chachomim saw what came of their great attempt at breaking the monopoly of the Beit Garmu, so they said, look, Kol ma shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu lichvodo bora. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in this world is made for a specific covet. And apparently these people were made for Kol Pa'al Hashem L'maneihu. They were made for this purpose. That's basically the way that many learn. Lamaisa, back in Shabbos, Rashi explained that this is not referring to Beit Garmo, it's referring to the way that we have to be makpid on the left. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted everything to be lichvodo, and we don't have a right to make a compromise. I personally prefer the other pshat, but that's another possibility. So then they realized that Beit Garmo is created for a purpose. And so they said, okay, we give in, come back. They said, come back? Like hell we come back. We want double our previous salary now that you realize that we're not replaceable. Maybe next time you'll learn how to treat us with a little bit of dignity, you know. So they refused to come back until they agreed to give them double their previous salary. Achakof lula hem zicharan. They used to take shneim asar mana ayinotlim, and they doubled it to 24. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, they used to take 24. They had to double it to 48. So anyway, the Chachamim said to them, I mean, how do you justify this kind of outrageous behavior that you're not willing to teach other people when the tzibur needs it? Well, you think you guys are going to live forever. You're so certain that the secrets are going to die out with you. Omrulam, so they said, that's because misorati biyadeinu miavoteinu. We have this misorah that this Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. This is not the final Beis HaMikdash. So that's all we need, is for a bunch of idiots to be running around to know how to make the Lechem HaPanim. The next thing you know is they're going to be making the Lechem HaPanim in church. That's not going to happen as long as we're alive. So basically, it's an amazing thing, by the way, that a lot of ancient cultic sites actually have the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash engraved on the walls. I mean, you know about the, you know, all these crazy modern cults that have the Temple of Solomon and so on and so forth. They have, it's like the weirdest thing. So that all of the goyim want to take whatever they could take from the Avedas Beis HaMikdash and use it for some Avedas Zara. And that's exactly what's going to happen. We're not giving this out to people that are not trustworthy. L'maisa b'dvar malolam askirot on the shevach. So remember, we discussed yesterday's daf. We discussed exactly how to understand the Mishnah in Yuma that talks about, I'm getting mixed up. That talks about that Shem Rishayim Mirkav, and it contrasts it with the Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. But according to that Girsa, that it's a reference, not like the Mandiyamra here, who says that they were actually tzaddikim, and these were the Gedolei Hador, so then it would mean that they were considered to be Rishayim. But Bidvorim Alolo Maskirim Otam Meshevach. One thing that we talk about them only Latov was that Shelo Yatza B'yad B'neim Patnikiyam Me'olam. Their children were never given quality bread. They actually would give their children dark bread. So that nobody should be chayshed them, that they were actually stealing from the lechem aponim material. And then we have in the Mishnah, Beit Avtinas, have a similar story with Beit Avtinas. They were also listed among the 15, And they were in charge of the Keteris. So Shel Beit Avtidas, Ayu Bikiyin, I should say Al Maisa Keteris probably, but okay. I mean, there's different Gersos over here, so some of the Mephoshim have the Pidum Keteris, and they were able to identify Ma'ale Ashan, and Lo Ratzu L'Lameid, they didn't want to teach it. And here too, the Chachamim were very angry. They wanted to break the monopoly. And so they sent for experts in Ketores, knew every different way of making incense. And they sent for these Umanim from Alexandria, from Mitzrayim, who were actually able to do a very good job at Pitom HaKetoret. But they could not find Mala Oshan. I mean, obviously they had to have some Mala Oshan because otherwise the Ketores is possible. But they didn't have that. I mean, Mala Oshan is a generic term. Something that causes the incense to smoke up so that it spreads. But they didn't know what we call Mala Ashan, and therefore the smoking of the incense would go up in the wrong way. So the Mala Ashan Shlo Yubikim, Shabbat Aftinas, was very mechubad. When the Keteres was lit, the smoke went up like a pillar up to the ceiling and then spread around the sides. It was like a mushroom cloud. It will post seven, you'll read it. But they are just like spread all over the place like smoke usually does. And that was not mechubad. The kivan she yadu chachamim b'davar amru kol ma shebara hakadosh baruch hu lechvodo bara shenemar kol anikra bishmi v'lechvodi v'rativ yitzativ and so on. Okay, others have the same gears that we had before. Kol pala sham l'maneu. Shochu achareim. So they said, okay, come on back. We obviously need you. They refused to come also. Achikof l'olam z'charam. Shneim asar mona ayu notlim. And they had to double it to 24. And Reb Yudah says, no, they originally used to pay 24 and they had to double it to 48. So they asked them, mipnima ein atem rotzim l'lameid. And they said, m'soreti mi'avotenu bi'adenu, shabayit azah atid l'chareim. And we will not give it to other people so that one day they'll be making the Keteres in front of an Avodah Zarah. Bidvorim halolo maskirim otam l'shevach, shalo yatzat ishami shalachad miyam mevusemet ma'olam. Never did any of the women that were married to someone from Beit Aftinas wear perfume. Not only that, elekeshayachad miyam nosei ishami makom acher, if any of them took a woman from any location where that woman may not know that that's part of being married to a Beit Aftinas man. That was one of the conditions of the marriage, that she should not use perfume. To avoid the chashad, which has appeared so often in the sugyas of the Shkolim. Om Rebbe Yossi. I bumped into, after the Churban, and I found a child from Beit Aftinas, and I said to him, you see, where do you come from, kid? And he said, Mishpachat Ploni, identified a Mishpacha from Beit Aftinas. Amarti lo b'ni, you see, Avotech alafishanit gavnu l'rabot kvodan. They look to have the monopoly, everybody should be the recognized, the only people in the world that know how to make the Keteres. So look what happened to them. They wanted to be Mamayit Kvod Shamayim. And Lefichach Kvodam Nitmayit. Now they don't have any covet because of the Churban. But the Kvod Shamayim is Nisraba. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because of people that were rotten, it's a great covet for him. Omer Rebbe Akiva. Well, Shimon ben Loga said to me that this is in Yuma, the story is Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Loga said to me that I was malaket ayiti asavim. I was collecting various different plants. And I was out there together with a child from Beit Aftinas. And I see that this child is crying and laughing. So I say to him, Bini, what triggered this crying? Omarli, he said, well, I come from Beit Aftinas, and I'm thinking of Al Kovet Shel Beis Abash and Ismayet. I see, because I see what you're doing, and I see that all of the things, the tremendous bekiyas that we had in all of these various savim beyond anybody else, and now we have no kavod. So why did you laugh? Omale ala kavod ha-metukad le-tzadikim la-atid lavo. Because I believe, I mean, it's like the Gemara says in the Bavli, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be giving us back in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, this we have a Kabbalah, it's going to be given back to us. So what triggered it? Marayita. I saw Ma'ala Ashan. Now you don't know what it is, but I saw it. Right here. Numetilos, I said to him, Bni, show it to me. Hareuli. Amarli Rebbe, I'm sorry, I can't. I have a Misoret Bidei Avotai, Shalola Harotola Griyaya, you're not allowed to show it to anyway, even though it's the biggest God of Batera. We can't show it to anyone because we're afraid it'll get out. Omar Reb Yochanan ben Nuri, that I can tell you that a Zokin Echad, Mishal Beit Aftinas, once met up with me, and he was holding a Megillat Samanim Biyado, and he had a Megillah, and that had pictures on it, and this Rashi says, it had pictures in it that identified the details of every single one of these asavim, so that you can identify it based on the careful diagrams. And he said to me, Rebbe, Lishaavar, it used to be that in my family, Hayu Beit Abba Tznuim, they were extremely tznua people, and they were very trustworthy. And because of that, they would pass on from one generation to the next. Now I don't find that they are ne'emanim anymore. Things have changed. I don't want to give it to any of them. The only person I trust is the Gadol Hador. I'm giving it to you. Helach, you take it. Et ha-megillah, but be very careful with it, because this is the secret of generations and of centuries. And he gave it to me. So I said over this maisa to Rabbi Akiva. He started to cry. Zolgu enav dma'ot. He said, oh, Baruch Hashem. Me'ata eno notzrichem ha'azkiram lignai. Now we can finally give up on all these horrible things that we used to say for them, because clearly, halacha l'maisa, we were always chayshed them in all of these generations, that there was always some ulterior motive of they're not teaching it to anybody else to maintain the monopoly that they had. And now you see when they felt that they couldn't trust themselves, that dafka, they gave it over to others. Then we have Elazar ala parochot. He was in charge of making the parochets. What are these parochets we spoke about before? That the parochets that were between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim, that used to be replaced every single year. The others were replaced as needed. And Pinchas was the Malbish. Haya Malbish Bigdei Kuhuna Gedela. This he would do personally, that he would actually dress up the Kohen Gadol, and he would be his own valet. Lamaisa, he was in charge, of course, of seeing to it that the Bigdei Kuhuna fit properly on all of the Kayanim, and were made properly, and this was a tremendously detailed job. But he was such an incredible Malbish. So you think the fact that he was Malbish is a minor point. Anybody can be Malbish. You just put on someone's clothes and make sure that they're on properly. Not true. Ma'aseh b'kohen echad was one of these Kohanim who used to be in charge of being a Malbish, which is to be a valet, and to be able to put on the Big Day Kahuna properly. And he was Malbish, Li'istartiyot Echad. He, like one of the governors of the Goyim, Zechoshev Hagai, they asked him. They didn't have anyone to do the job the way he could do it. And the guy was so overwhelmed with his abilities that he paid him Shmona Zehuvim, which is an immense amount of money for a simple job of being his valet. Some say that he gave him 12 zehuvim simply for dressing him. He was so blown away with the way that this person was able to precisely fit the clothes on him that he never looked so good in his life. He was just overwhelmed. And that's the keach of just a Kohen HaMalbish. Imagine the Koyach of Pinchas HaMalbish himself. All right, so we're continuing Daf Yudalid. We're on, holding on Yudalid on the Beit, and we're up to Halacha Beit. Go for it. So we're continuing on with the issues that we listed, the 15 various memunim in the Halacha Aleph. And then there were other different levels of control over things. And we're going to see that we actually have Ramosim in the Pasuk from the original Yesod of the Beis HaMikdash for all of these different things. So there need to be at least Shiva Amar Kolim. So there need to be these higher order people in charge who are called Amar Kolim. And that question of that very interesting use of a word in Hebrew, Amar Kolim, remember we always take the words that we import, we always give them a sense of Lashon HaKodesh. So, I mean, the Rambam connects this actually here in the Pir Shabbat Shnayis, he connects it to the Targum, because the Targum uses the word Amar Kolim in the posek about the Nesi Nesiei HaLevi, which means like the super, the one in charge of everything. So the Targum is the Amar Kelade B'mana HaRavir VeLevoi, which is mashma that the one in charge of the other people that were in charge is called an Amar Kol. So obviously they bring the Amar Kol from the Lashon of Amar Kula. He says everything. And means that everything is according to him. Then there's some, I saw it in a rat, I can't remember where he, I'm not sure, maybe it was Rabbi Nubach, I'm so sorry, I forgot where I saw it. But and he relates the word Amar to Amir. The words, he says that the Arabs still use this Amir as the guy that's in charge, right? So the Amir comes from that original word of the Amar Kelah. So it's a lashon of chashivas, maybe some related to the words to the word mar. In other words, mar meaning the guy in charge, the master. Okay, whatever it is, but it means that he's the guy that is above the others. And then we have shlosha gizborim. We need to have at least three people that are in charge of the financial matters, because remember that these guys were also had to function as a bezdin in order to be able to do the proper harocha. If somebody gave money or said that he wants to give his value on the open market and things like that, so you needed to have shlosha always in order to do that. So because of that, we had three people instead of maybe normally two that we'd have been relying on for monetary matters. And anything that had to do with money, enosin sirara al hatzibur, some have the girso of your bimomon, pachot mishnai. So if it has something to do with money, then there need to be at least two people that are there in order for people to feel that the funds are not being misappropriated. And except there were two specific cases, and that was the Dr. Ben Achia, and he was in charge of the gastro department of the Beis HaMikdash. And also Elazar was the one that was in charge of making the parochot. So all of the others that had monetary issues and they needed to be supplied for funds with what they were doing, there must have been somebody else that was with them. These actually functioned, these two guys functioned entirely on their own, because the Rov HaTzibur was Mekabel, that they completely trust these guys, and they didn't need anybody with them. So apparently, this was a Messiah that we had, that from the beginning, those offices were considered to be reliable. Okay, says the Mishnah. Now, the Brisa says, but there were also people that were on top of everything. So they were like the superintendents of the whole thing. And those were called the Catholics, the Katholiken. Mishnei Katholikim, which makes a lot of sense, because remember that the word Catholic, which became, you know, used for that religion, actually came from the original Greek, which is kataholos. Kataholos means in charge of everything, or the one who's nogea everything. That's why we still use the word, somebody has Catholic tastes, right? So if he has Catholic tastes, it means that his tastes are very, very broad-minded and so on. That's because of the holos of katholos. So in Lashon HaKodesh, that became katlikin, based on that same Greek, I'm assuming. And because of that, as we see in the Pasuk, there must have been... Oh, Dr. Sperber. Very nice. So he points that out?
It's a whole book just on these things. I have to look up each one. I was running another, but the Bikias of the Greek and the use, and you find out that they're punning the whole Sefer just on...
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so in any event, let's see where we get this from in the Pasuk, because the truth is that we have this amazing Pasuk that is really the mocker of like all of these things, and it lists these different names from which we understand. I mean, we put in our own description of the offices that they were in charge of, but it says over there like this, V'Yechiel and Azaziahu and Nachat were the Gizborim. So they were actually in the Beis HaMikdash as Gizborim, and it mentions them by name. So that means that we actually had three specific people that were in charge of the money issues. So those were what we call Gizborim. It doesn't say Gizborim in the Pasuk, but we call them Gizborim. So list them first. Then it says Asael, Yerimot, Yozavad, Eliel, Yismachia, Machat, and Vinayahu. So these were understanding as being the Amar Kolim. Again, this is our interpretation of the separate stages that the Pasuk mentions. Doesn't give them these names in the Pasuk. These are not Hebrew names, Amar Kolim. And these were the Pekidim. These were the ones that were the ones that had been appointed Miyad, Kananyahu and Shimi Achiv. So what were Kananyahu and Shimi Achiv? That they were the ones who had appointed all of the Amar Kolim and the Gizborim. So then that means that there's two people that are in charge of all of these people that are in charge. So these were, in our words, the Katalikin. And the Katalikin were directly appointed b'mifkadi Chizkiyo HaMelech. So the king himself, together with Azaryahu, was the Negid of the Bayit. The Negid of the Bayit means the Kohen Gadol. He was the Nasi of the Beis HaMikdash. So that means that the Melech and the Kohen Gadol were on top of the Katalikin. They appointed the Katalikin. The Katalikin appointed the Amar Kolim, and then the Amar Kolim were in charge of the various Gizborim and so on. So now, what happens when somebody, we spoke about the first two, we had the idea that there was a Lishkas HaChotamot. So the Chotam, how exactly did this work? So somebody who then was in charge of these various levels. So before we get to the way an individual gets things, which we'll do in a later Mishnah, when it was time to seal up they made a count of the money. This is the money that is currently in the Lishka. And then they sealed it up under everybody's seal so that it was clear that it had been passed by each level. So first of all, the Gizbar would write out what the situation was and would sign it and stamp it with his seal. He would hand it over to the Amar Kol, who was in charge of that, of him. The Amar Kol would examine everything. He would seal it with his seal, and he would pass it on to the Katalikun. The Katalikun would examine everything, and he would seal it, and he would then give it to the Kohen Gadol, who was the Negid HaBayit. And the Kohen Gadol would examine everything to make sure it's A-OK. He would seal with his personal seal, and he would hand it over to the Melech. Now, when it came time to reopen for the next thing that they were going to do and take money out of there, first of all, the Melech would take a look. He would ro'eh chotamo, and he would be matir, and he wanted to make sure that nobody had broken in and so on. And did, yes, I see that my seal is good. Some have the Girsa Umakir. He would recognize that it was fine, and he would pass it on to the Kohen Gadol, who is Roa Chotamo Umatir or Makir. Then he would pass it on to the Katalikin. The Katalikin would check and see that nothing was tampered with, and then pass it on to the Amar Kol. The Amar Kol would see that his seal was intact, and he would be Matir. And then finally, the Gizborim, they would be Roa Chotamo, and they would be Matir. Then the Mishnah says, where do we see that? So Reb Nachman b'shem Reb Imana says it's the pasuk. It says ve'hem yikhu et ha'zahav et ha'tchilet ve'et ha'argaman. So in the original matana that was given to the Mishkan, it makes always a reference to they. So who are the proverbial they? They are a rabbim, a minimum of two people, that they would be able to take the things that were brought. So since it's referring to them as a they, there needs to be a minimum of two. Now, the problem occurred, as we saw in Parshas Pekudei, for poor Moshe, who, of course, was accused of embezzling all of the funds and so on. So Moshe Rabbeinu was very rich, and, of course, that led to a lot of Lashon Hara about where did Moshe Rabbeinu get so rich. I mean, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him rich, that's part of the dinim of a Navi, is that he's supposed to be rich, so people be mechabed him, and he's supposed to actually make him rich. The Kohen Gadol, you're supposed to make rich, and so on. So Omer Rabbi Chama ber Rabbi Chanina, how did Moshe Rabbeinu get rich? He got rich from the psolat of the luchos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, psol lecha, shnei luchot avanim. Psol lecha means it's yours, personally. You get to keep everything after you actually carve out the luchas. You get to keep everything that's left. And Omer of Chanin, a machsev shalavanim tavotem ragaliot baralo akadosh baruch hu bitocho alo. Rashi conflates these two, and he makes the special machsev was a quarry specifically for the sapphire that was the luchas. But some learned that this is a different thing, that besides the psalas of the luchas, that Moshe Rabbeinu was also given this very diamond mine that appeared right there inside of his oil, umimenu heshir Moshe. So what were the way that people related to Moshe? So we already saw, unfortunately, we've seen before, that there is this horrible machlokas, in which the pasuk v'hibitu achrei Moshe ad bo ohela was a machlokas between two Amoraim, and one said that these were terrible things that they would say about Moshe. There he is going out to the oil that he made the Omoid, which was he took his oil michutz l'machan, and they would look at him as he walked. It says, and one says that it was l'shevach. So the one who says that it was genai, I mean, it's like very very disgusting genai, says, hey, look at this fat ass Moshe, look at his thick legs. Look at his, the fat hanging off of him. Where do you think all of that fat is coming from? He eats everything that belongs to the Jews. He drinks everything that belongs to the Jews. I mean, this is obviously said by some awfully low-class people. Kol mi dilei min yodai. Everything that he's got, he stole from the Jews. It's all embezzlement. God help us. It's hopeless. Man di omer l'shevach, the other man di omer says, no, just the opposite. They say, "Oi, mechamid tzadikayu mezakei alavai." We should be zoicha to see the tzaddik, that we should be zoicha to see him even. And then when he would pass by, oh, baruch Hashem, tuvia the zochat lamechmiyate. What a bracha that we were zoicha to see such a person in our lifetimes.